Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2570.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vasse.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock. It's been a week since we last spoke on Dodger Talk. Next week we will be on Monday, Tuesday, and then the Freeway Series starts next Thursday night in Anaheim. The first two games will be Thursday and Friday at Angel Stadium, and then Saturday will be at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers then have next Sunday off, and then April 3rd, the Dodgers will open up the season at Dodger Stadium against the San Diego Padres. Phone lines are open tonight at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in our next segment, Trace Thompson will join us. And then at the bottom of the hour at 7:30, we'll hear from former Dodger relief pitcher and current AAA pitching coach for Oklahoma City, Matt Hergis. He'll join us and talk about all the great young arms in the Dodger minor league system. I am live in Los Angeles tonight, back for good from Arizona, and it was a great time being out there for over a month at Camelback Ranch. If you're going out there this weekend for the final weekend of spring training, I strongly encourage you to get there early so you can enjoy the backfields and get really up close and personal with all the players as they prepare for the game and for the season. If you were there this past week, you got a chance to see Corey Seager do some work at shortstop and take some swings in the cage on the backfields. And yesterday on the minor league side, he went there to be a DH and got three at-bats, so that's a good sign for him. And tomorrow, the bigger test, in my opinion, will be him playing shortstop, playing defense, because he hurt that oblique throwing the ball, not swinging the bat. And for him to be able to be confident and to trust that he can make the plays, he's going to need to play shortstop and test it out in a game situation, because in controlled environments, when you're taking ground balls from coaches, they're obviously hitting them right at you. They're not going to make you overextend yourself when you're coming off an oblique injury. Him playing tomorrow, even in a minor league game, hopefully he gets some action there at shortstop. And if he has to make a sudden move or turn a double play, that will be a bigger test than what he did yesterday, taking three at-bats. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, bad news for the Dodgers in some ways is Andre Ethier had an MRI a couple of days ago, and it revealed that he has an herniated disc, and that will more than likely keep him out of the Dodgers opening day lineup. He was having a great spring like he was a year ago at this time. Not only just a .500 batting average, taking six or seven walks, the quality of at-bats were probably the best on the team. And it's an unfortunate situation for him. About to be 35 years old, and having back issues is not a good thing. The one thing Dave Roberts did say, though, it's not as severe as Clayton Kershaw's herniated disc, but it is a herniated disc, and it did require him to get an epidural injection. So hopefully that works for him, but the chances of him playing on opening day are not very good. And here's what the Dodger manager had to say yesterday about Andre Ethier and his injury.
I think the thing is that we're really trying to get past the idea of there's a opening day is a drop dead hard line. It's because really it's one day. It's one game or whatever the day if he's not. So I think that we're just trying not to put so much emphasis on that, and Andre understands that too. So the number one thing is we got to get him back healthy and feeling good. So whenever that day is, if it's prior to open day or if it's not, then that's our goal.
And that's smart. Everybody wants to be ready for opening day. You want to see Andre Ethier out there, which may have been his final opening day in a Dodger uniform. He wants to be out there, and the way he was swinging the bat and the quality of his at-bats during spring training, Dave Roberts wanted him out there as well. But like Dave just said, you can't put a hardline date to try to rush a player to be ready for opening day. If Corey Seager's not ready for opening day, believe me, the Dodgers will hold him out, and that would be the right thing to do because you need Seager for the majority of the season. You just don't need him for the first day or the first week, and then he feels that oblique injury again. And that, as you know, with athletes, oblique injury is the trickiest one because you may think you're over the hump, and then all of a sudden you do one motion, and it gets you again, and you're out for 2 months. So not only for Andre Ethier, but for Corey Seager, for Adrian Gonzalez and his elbow, opening day does not mean anything for the Dodgers. They are locked in on the big picture, and that is getting to the World Series this year. And Sports Illustrated did pick the Dodgers to beat the Indians in the World Series this year, so we'll see whether or not that comes true. The Dodgers will play the Indians during the regular season, so maybe a World Series preview in the middle of summer. Now, as far as the Dodger outfield situation goes, with Ethier more than likely starting the season on the DL, I know a lot of people are hoping that opens up a spot for Trace Thompson. It doesn't, in my opinion. It opens up a spot for Andrew Tolles to be on this roster on opening day. Even though his spring has been a little up and down, it hasn't been as great as what we saw last year. He's a left-handed bat. The Dodgers saw what he could do last year. He could handle it. And I believe he will be the Dodgers' opening day left fielder if there's a right-handed pitcher on the mound, which more than likely the Padres will throw at the Dodgers. And as far as Trace Thompson goes, I really believe it's a race to the finish line between him and Scott Van Slyke, depending on which way the Dodgers want to go. Now, a lot of things can change. The Dodgers are going to go with a 7-man bullpen, so that leaves 5 bench players. And 3 are already locked in. You got the backup catcher, Austin Barnes. You got Chase Utley. And you got Franklin Gutierrez, who's a left-handed pitching killer with the Seattle Mariners the last 2 years. And the Dodgers signed him because they weren't sure if Trace's back was going to be completely healed. Remember, he fractured 2 vertebrae last year. And at the time when they signed Gutierrez, Trace was not even doing baseball activities, so they covered themselves. If Gutierrez wasn't on this team, Trace would have that spot, but the Dodgers had to cover themselves and gave a guy that does really well against left-handed pitching $2 million, which was a bargain in some ways. So that is the situation for Trace. So if they decide to go with Scott Van Slyke, I don't believe there's a spot for Trace because they want to have a backup shortstop, and they want to have a right-handed bat that can play the infield and maybe some center field. So I think their last 2 spots on the Dodger bench will come down to A, Van Slyke versus Trace, B, Kike Hernandez, who is pinch running these days for Puerto Rico, versus Chris Taylor, who's having an outstanding spring, hitting over 400. During the spring and has done everything and played every day the Dodgers have wanted to. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I was told yesterday, too, don't count out the Dodgers possibly making a trade before opening day to clear up some roster spot and maybe get some more talent in their lower levels because they do have a lot of talent, no doubt about it, and they're always looking to add. So if they feel like they can add quality minor league talent, there is a possibility that they may trade one of these guys that more than likely would have a major league roster spot on virtually any other team except the Dodgers because they are so deep. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue on Nissan Dodger Talk, we'll get into the Dodgers pitching rotation. We know the first 3, but I will tell you who I believe will get the final 2, and we'll hear from Trace Thompson and talking about him and where he's at in spring training and the competition between him and the other outfielders to get one of those last 2 spots on the Dodger roster. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. The next Dodgers spring training game on the radio, right here on Dodgers Radio, will be this Friday afternoon. Dodgers on Deck begins at 12:30. First pitch at 1 o'clock between the Dodgers and Arizona Diamondbacks. Coming up in just a moment, you'll hear from Dodger outfielder Trace Thompson. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Matt Hurges. Yeah, that name may sound familiar. Remember in the early 2000s, he was the key eighth inning setup guy for the Dodgers, and now is the pitching coach for Oklahoma City, the AAA affiliate for the Dodgers. He's been out there at spring training and will continue to be out there helping a lot of those young Dodger pitchers and a lot of the veteran Dodger pitchers. Every step Rick Honeycutt takes, Matt Hurges is right there, and no better teacher to learn from than Rick Honeycutt. And Matt Hurges, by the way, was a Dodger. He was drafted by the Dodgers, came up through the system, was taught by guys like Sandy Koufax, Johnny Padres, Dave Wallace, those type of guys. So he has it ingrained in him, in his baseball DNA, what it means to be a Dodger pitching coach. So you want to stick around for that interview at the bottom of the hour. But want to get into the Dodger rotation here, because it's coming down here to the last two starts for, I would say, two pitchers to get that last spot in the rotation. We know it's going to be Kershaw on opening day on April 3rd. It's either going to be Maeda or Rich Hill the following day, but those three guys are your first three in the rotation. The other guy, I think, has solidified his spot in the rotation is Brandon McCarthy, who's coming off Tommy John surgery and also the yips, where he could not find the strike zone or the catcher at the end of last year, but he's looked very good in spring training so far. So I believe he will be the fourth starter for the Dodgers, and the fifth starter I thought was going to be Alex Wood, who's had a very good spring, 11 innings pitched, ERA respectable 3.18, a whip under 1.097. But Hyunjin Ryu is starting to make a push to be that fifth starter for the Dodgers. Ryu in 9 innings this spring has given up just one earned run, including 4 scoreless innings yesterday, which was a big test in Dave Roberts' mind before the game. He wanted to see whether or not, A, Ryu could go through a lineup twice and be effective, and B, whether or not he could sustain the velocity, 87, 88 to 91, and he seemed to do that. I think he's making a push here to make the rotation, and part of the reason why I believe if the next start is as good as this last one, and he does show the Dodgers he can maintain velocity past the first and second inning, Alex Wood has options. He could be sent down to the minor leagues. Ryu cannot. So they would have to decide whether or not to put him on the DL, give him extended spring training, and then send him on a minor league rehab assignment. He said yesterday he feels like he is very close to the pitcher we saw in 2013 and 2014, which was one of the best pitchers not only in the Dodger rotation, but in all of the National League. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Now you're asking about Scott Kazmir. Well, still having issues with the mechanics. The velocity is 83. I don't see any way he breaks camp with the Dodgers when the season begins. Julio Urias, you may be asking about him. Well, back in January, Dave Roberts tipped us all off to the fact the Dodgers were considering keeping Julio back for extended spring training to minimize his innings. And it's played out that way in spring training. And here is what Dodger manager Dave Roberts had to say about Julio being part of this rotation on opening day.
The door's not closed, but I think to say that he would be built up to 100 pitches is probably unrealistic. I think that it just kind of goes to, which we've told Julio is, you know, there's a certain amount of innings and we're trying to figure out a way to, you know, get those innings when it matters most. And I think that all the games matter. I get that. But so we're still trying to kind of navigate with Julio.
And that was Dave Roberts just a couple of days ago talking about Julio Urias and where he's at in the rotation. Now, keep in mind, as Dave Roberts was saying the door is not closed, the reason why he's saying that is in case somebody gets injured, they're going to have to thrust Urias into the rotation. But if you look at the innings pitched so far this spring, 14 different Dodger pitchers have more innings logged than Julio Urias this spring. So there is no way he is going to be part of this rotation. And I think it's a smart move. I know a lot of people are criticizing the Dodgers for holding him back at the beginning of the season, but if he's only going to be able to pitch 150, maybe 175 innings maximum, wouldn't you want to save those innings to start in May and go all the way through October and not have to shut him down at any point in the season? Now, they're not going to put him in the bullpen, and that's the smart move too. But do you agree with the Dodgers and me that this is the smart move for the Dodgers and for 20-year-old Julio Urias to keep him back for the first month of the season? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. All right, had a chance to catch up with Dodger outfielder Trace Thompson, who made his way back from two fractures in his back last year, and he has played some games now and has done pretty well. 6-for-18 to start spring training for him with a home run on his birthday against the Cubs. So here's Trace Thompson, and he was happy to talk.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk under these circumstances, but I'm just happy to be back and happy to be one of the guys, and looking forward to these last few weeks of spring training and just trying to take each day for what it is, and a day to go out there and be one of the guys and get to play baseball.
I know how much you enjoy the game of baseball and everything that goes into it. What was the most frustrating part for you during your injury?
I mean everything, really. Yeah. Definitely watching the guys, going out there and competing. I mean, doesn't matter if it's, preseason, regular season, postseason, watching a game is tough for me. But definitely seeing them, go down the stretch and, play some important games and stuff, and obviously clinching and going to the playoffs, that was really hard to watch. But, those are my teammates, and, I was really happy for the team and everything and for the guys, so I was pulling for them. But I obviously really wish I was there. But, it was definitely, a test, and, I'm just happy to be where I am now, hopefully help the team, going forward.
Was it frustrating too with fractures in your back? The most important thing for you to do was rest instead of trying to do something to help it heal.
Right. I mean, I at first I don't think coming back was out of the question, or at least that's not what they. I think they're probably just trying to feed me a little bit of sugar. But it was tough not being able to pick up a bat or a ball or do anything with the guys. So I mean, it was definitely tough, but I'm here right now. I'm very happy to be back right now, and it's been a lot of fun to be back.
Was there one turning point during the off season where you felt, okay, I'm over the hump now, I could start doing some baseball work and I'm not going to be worried about how my back is going to respond?
I think in early mid January, I was able to swing and throw for quite a while, but running was kind of the final step. Mm-hmm. We did some running, me and Brad McDaniel, Travis Smith, Thomas Albert, a lot of the trainers, Neil Ramp, a lot of our trainers and stuff that were there. We kind of pushed it one day, and I did some running and stuff at the stadium, and from then on, it was kind of like it really started to snowball. Kind of right before a Fan Fest, really started to snowball. I really started to feel a lot better, and the progress started to pick up a lot. So like I said, I'm just happy to be here now, pretty much full go.
Do you think you're a better player now because of taking a step back from baseball, and maybe the rehab process taught you something about your body that you didn't even know about?
Right. I think it taught me to, take care of myself more, get in the training room more and do little things. It doesn't have to be something big. You don't have to get, a full body massage every day, but there's certain, small maintenance things you can do every single day, make yourself feel better every day. So there's definitely a lot of things I picked up on. And just watching the game of baseball, I watch a lot of baseball as it is, but obviously being able to watch from a close view, really pay attention to what guys do and don't do to have success, that was huge. Anytime you're able to pay attention and really study the game like I was with so much downtime, it definitely is going to help you. But, There's a bunch of things I definitely picked up on. I'm just looking forward to kind of instilling them in my game.
Trace Thompson is our guest. He was the birthday boy a couple of days ago. You hit a home run on your birthday. How did that feel? And also, how are you able to get back into the groove of baseball and have quality at-bats like you've had so far in the first few games back?
Well, the first day I didn't have many quality at-bats, but it's just... like you said, getting back in the groove, getting back in the routine, and that battle, you kind of forget what that battle's like between the pitcher and the hitter after you I didn't do it for so long. So that's definitely something I had to really focus on. Definitely the other day against the Mariners, and then you know, that second game. The first game, I was just kind of anxious. Just, I just wanted to get in and get out, kind of. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it felt good. You know, the Mariners, I grew up a Mariners fan, so definitely it felt good to hit a homer there. You know, we used to go to Peoria for spring training when I was a kid, so it definitely it means a lot to me whenever I get to play there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's good to get back into the routine, and you know, I'm just happy to be one of, you know, pretty much a normal player again.
Let me guess, your favorite player was Ken Griffey Jr. when you were growing up.
It was him. He was definitely the one, but, you know, I loved Edgar Martinez also.
Oh, wow.
And then once Griffey left, once Ichiro came to town, I mean, it was like the Beatles coming to the Northwest. It was pretty incredible when he came to Seattle. So, I mean, there's all those guys. I mean, Jay Buhner, A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Dan Wilson, all those guys. You know, Brett Boone, when he came, all those guys. I loved every single player when they came to Seattle. I mean, the Mariners were a huge team in the 90s, and it is definitely a huge influence on me why I picked baseball. But,
wow.
Yeah, but Griffey was definitely my guy. I'm definitely a Ken Griffey Jr. fan.
So Trace Thompson actually set foot in the King Dome?
I never went to the King Dome.
Okay.
And I actually, you know, my oldest brother got to go to the King Dome when he was a kid with one of his friends, and I actually never went to Safeco either. We only went to Peoria for a few baseball tournaments, but my first, I was kind of happy, you know, looking back on it, that I never went to Safeco, because my first time going to Safeco was as a player, as a Chicago White Sox.
Wow.
So that's something I'll always be very, very fond of, very proud of. But yeah, I always root for the Mariners, and yeah, I still keep up with them. I always ask Corey questions, get some insiders from his brother a lot. But yeah, we definitely were big Mariners fans growing up.
Trace, before I let you go, talking about Ken Griffey Jr., you think about the way he patrolled center field. The first game back, Mike Trout hit a bullet to left center field, and you took maybe three or four long strides to make what would be for other players a difficult play look like an easy play. Do you think sometimes that hurts you because your strides are so long, you don't have to make the diving catches, and it seems like you get good reads off the ball early on?
Yeah, I actually used to get in trouble for that. When I was in the minor league, some of my coaches, I remember when I first got called up to Double A, my coach didn't really see me play before, and he thought I was kind of lollygagging after a ball. And I'm like, man, that's just if you could feel my heart rate, I was going as hard as I could because it was a ball at the wall and I missed it. But yeah, I mean, you know, I just feel free out there in center field, and that's where I'd play growing up with the White Sox, and I feel like it's my natural position. But I'm going to play wherever they put me. You know, anything I can do to play, be in the lineup that day, I don't care if I have to catch. I'll do whatever it takes. But I definitely feel, you know, a lot more free in center field. I feel like I can go out there and get the ball and help the team, definitely.
Trace, maybe after you make those catches, after two or three long strides, maybe you just want to dive just to appease the other manager, appease your manager or coaches.
Well, I actually had Devon White as a as an outfield and base running coach for a couple of years in Chicago, and
yeah,
you know, he was an awesome guy, kind of similar to that, like in that standard, very, very smooth. And he told me he never had to dive for a ball, and he's got about 7 or 8 gold gloves. But, you know, I like to dive for a ball. I mean, if I have to dive, I'm going to dive, and I think everyone knows that. But, yeah, you know, I just try to get my best jump on the ball and just try to go catch it. I don't know, you know, what I do to make it look or how it looks or whatever, but I just try to go get the ball.
Trace, after getting to know you the last year or so, you've become my favorite Thompson. You've passed your dad as my favorite Thompson.
That's good. I'm sure, you know, Rocco should be probably second on the list, but that means a lot to me. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the time and continued health and success in spring training.
Thank you.
And that was Trace Thompson. And, yeah, so he's encouraging me not only to make his dad, Michael, be my second favorite Thompson, but push him down another rung for the dog, Rocco, which is Clay's dog. So that's what he's encouraging me. I said that he passed his father as my favorite Thompson, and now he's saying his dad should be third on my list because of the dog, Rocco. So I may have to take that under consideration, since I did hang out with Michael one day in spring training when the Lakers were in Phoenix, and I gave him a ride back to the Lakers hotel, and he's the only guy I know that still prints out the Google Maps and had directions for me from the Google Map printout. And I said, Michael, I have this thing on my phone. It's called Waze. He's like, oh, I've never, I haven't tried that yet. I said, well, you might want to try it, Michael. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And Trace is just a hard guy not to like. He's a great kid, great makeup. Everybody on the team loves him, and pulling for him to find a way to make it on this roster. And just like I said, it's not important for a player to be on the opening day roster for the grand scheme of things. Same thing with Trace. If he's not on the opening day roster, you've seen last year how many guys go down. He'll be up here at some point, and when he does get that opportunity, he'll make the most of it. Trust me. Let's go out to Riverside. Steve, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So, I earlier what you were saying about Urias, I agree with you 100%. I think it's probably best for the Dodgers to do that.
Yeah, I think if they do that, by the end of the season, I really believe this, that Julio Urias will be the second best pitcher on the Dodger staff. I really believe that.
Hey, and you wouldn't happen to know who's pitching on Friday, right? Because we're heading out to Camelback.
I do know that answer. I do know that answer, and I will have it for you. It escapes me right now because I left Camelback, and when you do that, when you leave Camelback, you leave all your worries behind over there too, and you forget about all the pitching matchups as well. But the Dodgers are going to throw Trevor Oakes on Friday against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Is that okay with you, Steve?
Yep, sounds good to me. All right,
Steve. Thanks for calling. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And yeah, and remember that name, Trevor Oakes, who pitched at AAA last year. He could be one of those spot starters if the Dodgers need it at some point during the season. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Manuel.
The Count of Camelback, the Baron of Burbank. How you doing, my friend? Hey, is that Trevor Oak any relation to the one Dr. Beverly Oak who sometimes cuts down those PMS shows? Hey, that was a great appearance today, Dave, man. I'm happy that you're able to spend time with your kids, man. That stuff right there that you're doing, man, is probably the only thing in your life that's better than Camelback. But hey,
that's right. They're the only things I care about more than baseball. My kids are the only thing more. My wife is third. My wife is third.
Hey, man, your wife's awesome, man. But hey, as far as the Dodgers, I'm so hyped up about, like, hey, what you said about Urias right now and how the update on Ryu. I'm loving this, man. I just hope that I know it seems like someone's
going
to man out as far as, like, we'll see, but I'm very optimistic. I'm riding with Sports Illustrated, although this was my pick last year. Dodgers in Cleveland, and the Dodgers will win it in six. Feeling you, Vic the Brick.
All right. Yeah, that's a good way to end the call, Manuel. Thank you for the phone call. We love it. And yes, feeling you, Vic the Brick, who did undergo surgery on Monday, and we're hearing that he's feeling good. I mean, feeling good enough to call Petros and Money yesterday. So he is feeling good, Vic the Brick. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. My pick is for the Dodgers to win the World Series as well, but I have a different American League team. I believe it's going to be the Boston Red Sox the Dodgers beat in the World Series, not the Indians. Let's go out to New Jersey. Mitch, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Doing great.
Hope everything's good, you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I agree. I wish Thompson would make the team. But another guy I would like to see to make the team, but I know it's a very, smallish chance, is Cody.
Cody Bellinger? Why do you think he's ready to make the team? Have you seen what he's done in spring?
I don't know what he enjoys. I'm fighting through this winter here. It doesn't even feel like baseball, but I know he's not batting too well, but I know he's got power and he's going to be on the team eventually.
Eventually, but not yet. Pump the brakes, Mitch. He leads the team in strikeouts. He's only hitting .180 in spring training. He's had a rough spring. It's not going as well as it did a year ago, and it's pretty clear he's not ready. So all you people that are trying to push Adrian Gonzalez out the door, trust me, Cody Bellinger is not ready to take over for a guy like Adrian Gonzalez.
And too bad they don't have the DH, Dave, but I know how you feel about DH. A nice one.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. What's up, Mitch? I know you got the internet out there in Jersey. Don't play that game with me. You got the internet. Log on to Dodgers.com. The spring training stats are right there. Come on. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, more of your phone calls. This is your only chance this week to throw them at me as far as Dodger baseball is concerned. And then we'll hear from AAA pitching coach Matt Hergis. Old friend Matt Hergis will join us next on Nissan Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports. David Vasse with you until the top of the hour right here on Dodgers Radio. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. In just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with AAA pitching coach Matt Hergis, the former Dodger relief pitcher. Had a chance to catch up with him yesterday, so we'll share that with you. But want to first send out our warmest regards to Dave Roberts and his family, who earlier today laid his father to rest in Oceanside. His father, Wayman Roberts, passed away early last weekend. And just want to send our prayers and condolences to Dave and his family, who has obviously had a tough week. And thinking about the Dodger manager and his family, he left Camelback Ranch yesterday to spend time with his mother. And then this afternoon, this morning, they laid his father, Wayman, to rest. And he'll be flying back to Camelback Ranch later tonight. So thinking about Dave Roberts, the manager of the year, good guy. And thinking about his family. But it's funny how baseball seems to get in, or life seems to get in the way of baseball and the season, because it never stops. You know, you lose a loved one like that, baseball doesn't stop for you. Games continue. Guys are still working out, and you've got to find a way to manage it and manage your life at the same time. And I think that's one of the things I appreciate more now traveling. This will be my sixth year traveling with the Dodgers everywhere they go. How much sacrifice these players and coaches and managers make just to chase their dream of loving baseball. And obviously, they're making a good living for their family, but that still doesn't make up for the sacrifice of being there for your kids on special birthdays or special things that are going on during the summer. Or like Dave Roberts, you know, fortunately, in some way, his father's passing happens in spring training, and he's able to catch up pretty quickly. But life does not stop for the baseball season, and you've got to find a way when tragedy strikes. You've got to find a way to put baseball aside and worry about life, because real life is going on out there, and baseball is just our sandbox where we have a good time. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go out to West Covina. Jerry, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Jerry? Hey, Jerry. Jerry, going once, gone. That's all I do. I don't go going twice or three times. A good time to check in with our good friend Matt Hergis, the AAA pitching coach for the Dodgers, former Dodger relief pitcher, now the pitching coach for the Oklahoma City Dodgers. He's a good guy and knows a lot about the Dodger farm system and about teaching and about what's to come in the future for the Dodgers.
Matt, obviously back for another spring training, and it seems like this one is a little bit more comfortable and seamless for everybody with the new Major League staff and your new role in AAA, your second year as the pitching coach there.
Absolutely, there's more continuity now. I mean, it's the second year with the staff, so it's definitely more comfortable. People know each other better. And when the pitching side of this, Dave, is we're kind of all on the same page. You know, when you get a group together and you feel each other out, but with Honey's leadership, everybody is on the same page. And it's not fake. It's legit. It's, yeah, I believe in what we're saying, and I'm on board. And that's what we teach. And there's a reason why the Dodgers have had, you know, really good pitching for a really long time. I mean, there's continuity.
And you were part of that long line of really good pitchers in the bullpen for you. Being comfortable and understanding the vernacular of what Rick Honeycutt is preaching, does that make it easier for you to pass that down to your pitchers?
It's cool, Dave, because I hear him talk like just now with Josh Fields, and everything he says makes it rings true to me, because that's how I was raised, with the Sandy Koufax, you know, his brain, and then instilled into Honey's brain, and now that's instilled into all of our brains. It makes sense. There's nothing that you hear that's like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like there's epiphanies that happen all day long because it just makes sense. Because it's, and you know, I guess we could say it's kind of the Dodger way.
Yeah.
It's been really good for a really long time, and there's reasons for that.
I've heard Rick talk about this, and I know Sandy Koufax believed in this when he taught using the pitching rubber as leverage. Is that something that you try to teach to your younger pitchers?
Well, I mean, the fact is this. The rubber is constant. It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to push a couch across your living room floor, you're probably going to put your foot up against a wall. It's our wall. And the consistency of our foot placement and how we drive off that rubber is critical. I mean, that's what we were just doing with Fieldsy. This is the physics, I guess, of pitching. And this is, Sandy was all about it. He was all about your foot placement, hooking your spikes, driving, getting your direction. Everything starts from that foot. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful that, you know, you go to other organizations and it's how they land, or it's, you know, my hand out front. It's all these things that I'm like, yeah, but you guys are missing the big point. And I was never a pitching coach to anybody else, but there's so many times I just want to say, you know what? It starts down here.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we should focus on. And I did that my whole career, and fortunately I played, you know, a little bit. But it's great to just to be here and to listen to Honey, continue to learn. I mean, honestly, we learn every day. I mean, there's not going to be a day goes by that you don't learn something about baseball and about pitching.
I guess that's the biggest part, too, you being with the minor league players. The teacher teaching the teachers, I guess, is just as important as what you're translating to those pitchers.
It's more. It really is. And there's no mixed messages. There's no, well, this guy believes in this, but this guy believes in this. Choose one. No, it's a common theme. It's a common teaching. And like I said about three times already, it's good.
Yeah.
It works.
Matt Hergis is our guest. Like you mentioned, you were the beneficiary of having Sandy Koufax teach you when you were a young Dodger in the minor leagues. Were you surprised that as great of a pitcher as he was able to talk to that level and to be able to teach? Because usually great players cannot teach as well as they played.
You know, you're right, because it just came so easy to him, to great players. And to be able to actually teach the way Sandy does, the way he can, his ability. He's such a cerebral guy, but he's such a feel guy. I mean, how the body feels. You ask him what's the most important thing, if you were to, you know, narrow it down to one word, and he'd say rhythm. And when I asked him that as a minor league, I'm like, what's that mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, do you dance? I'm like, no. He's like, okay, well, then we'll work on that. But, yeah, he's such a feel guy. Because some people are just field guys. Some people are mechanics guys. Sandy and Rick Honeycutt, it's the whole package. Mm-hmm. It's the feel. It's the mechanics. It's the mindset. Because we all know at the major league level, you know, mindset, your thoughts are massive. I mean, it makes the difference between a big leaguer and a minor leaguer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is, I couldn't be more thankful just for the fact that I found myself back home where I was raised. And it just makes sense, all of it. And the people here, you're talking about human beings too now. I mean, it's not just X's and O's, mechanics, and it's actual relationship too. And that's what makes it special.
With all those young starting pitchers that came up to the Dodgers last year, that's the one thing they said Matt Hergis passed down to them and conveyed to them. You cared about them more than just a pitcher. You cared about them more as a person, and for them to acknowledge that, I'm sure makes you feel like you did your job.
That's about as humbling as a thing I can hear, Dave. I appreciate you saying that, but here's what I know. Ultimately, being a player, now a coach, is they're not going to care what you know unless they know that you care, flat out. The coaches that made the biggest impact on me, I felt they truly cared. Because you'll have coaches from time to time that they have their own agenda. Mm-hmm. There's people that have their own agenda.
Yeah.
And the ones that reached me at a deep level, and an intimate level, it may sound corny, but at an intimate level, were the ones that I knew cared. Claude Osteen came to me one day after a month of struggles and said, I'm having trouble sleeping at night, thinking about how to get you fixed.
Wow.
And that blows me away. And that's right then, I'm like, well, if I coach, that's what I want to be. That's how I want to be. Because they won't care what you know unless they know that you care.
Yeah, and that's what they said, all of them that came up, all those young guys, Brock Stewart, Ross Stripling, even Julio Urias and Jose De Leon conveyed that message to me. And you got to feel somewhat validated by not only what you just mentioned and how they feel about you, but also, too, with the revolving carousel of injuries last year, to be able to prepare those guys for that. Was that challenging for you?
Not really, just because this organization is an organization that gives us really good players. You know, that's the one thing. It's we're not hamstrung by, you know, different obstacles that other organizations are. So we get good players. We get good thinkers. We get good athletes. It's just kind of the finishing school of it. AAA is kind of a finishing school. It's here's what's going to happen at the next level. Here's how to, and thankfully, Bill Hasselman, Luis Matos, Sean Wooten, they all can, you know, draw from their experience. They all played in the major leagues, and it's not that we knew everything. We don't hardly really, in the grand scheme, we don't know anything. Mm-hmm. But we do know a little bit in terms of what to expect. And this is what will work here. This is what won't work there. Those kind of things. So preparing them for that, finishing them, so when they get to L.A., they can contribute. And that's what player development is.
Matt Hergis is our guest. Matt, there's been a lot of talk about Julio and what his role will be and how he'll be played out coming out of spring training. How impressed are you with the way he's handled everything that's come at him from 19 to now 20 years old?
You know, there's not enough superlatives to say about the kid. He just continues to get better. He's dealt with a lot. We've completely put a straitjacket on him at times, and he's dealt with it perfectly. We've never mistreated him, but we've always been so careful of his health that I can see why he could be really frustrated at times. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what we're planning on doing with him this year, but I know that in order to win a World Series, which I think everyone in this camp believes that we can do this year, he's going to play a big part. Mm-hmm. And whatever they do, whether they put him in the rotation, whether they put him in the pen, whether they do whatever they do with him, he's going to play a major role, and he's ready. I mean, the kid is as resilient of a kid as you can possibly imagine. He's a once-a-decade player. Wow. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And he's dealt with all the expectations. He's dealt with all the comparisons. Unbelievably, he's just him.
What have you seen from him in this camp that maybe he didn't see the last time you laid eyes on him?
Well, he's more of a pro. I mean, if you were just to sit back and watch, if you had no idea who any of these guys were, if you just observed, you'd say, okay, he's been around for a while. Like he's had a long big league career. That's what you'd see because he carries himself like a pro. He doesn't big league anybody. He doesn't blow anybody off.
Yeah.
He's as humble as can be still, and he continues who he will be. That's who he is at the core. But he goes about his business like a veteran would. And that's unbelievable to me because, shoot, he should be in college right now, right? He should be screwing around in college getting in trouble. You know?
That would be me at 40 still, Matt.
Right, me too, brother. Me too.
Thanks a lot for the time. I love seeing you out here. Happy that you're still in a Dodger uniform because that's who you are and that's what your baseball life is all about. So it's always great to see you, and thank you on behalf of all the Dodger fans for grooming all those young pitchers in AAA.
That's my pleasure, Dave. Thank you, brother.
There he is, another great guy, Matt Hergis, who I've known since he was pitching for the Dodgers. I used to bug him and Dave Hansen. They used to have lockers in the old Dodger clubhouse right next to each other. So that's where I would hang out. And then when those two guys left, Jason Wirth came in. I used to bug him and Alex Cora across the way. And Andre Ethier took Wirth's locker. So that was my area. And whoever came in, for some reason, we got along. And Matt Hergis can get along with anybody. And that's why his pitchers love him so much, because he doesn't just care about them as a property or just some chip or widget. He cares about them as people, and that's why they care about him as well. So very special to have Matt Hergis still in the Dodger organization, and he's going to have guys named Walker Buehler and Mitchell White at some point this season, and he's going to help get them ready for the big leagues as well. Those two guys, a lot of buzz about the Dodgers pitching in spring training. Those two guys, Mitchell White, drafted in the second round last year, Walker Buehler, who was drafted a couple of years ago, then had Tommy John surgery. A lot of special things are in store for those two young men, and everybody in Dodger camp is very anxious about those two guys getting their chance in the big leagues. And I was told there's a very good possibility Walker Buehler will make an appearance in a Cactus League game before the Dodgers leave there. Hey, want to get Isabel from Buena Park on the show before we say goodnight. Hi, Isabel.
Hey, David. How are you? Hope the kids start feeling better.
Thank you.
Anyway, I hope you're doing good. Anyway, I'll just make this quick. I'm sorry to hear about Adrian. So, well, I guess it's better happen now. And how do you think the Padres are going to do this year? And give Dave Robin my best. I love him, and I just feel bad for him, but I know how it is. So just tell Dave Robin, just give him my best.
Will do, Isabel. The Padres are going to be awful this year. They'll be bringing up the rear in the West. And, yeah, unfortunate for Andre Ethier and the herniated disc. But I think he'll make it back at some point this season. Hopefully the sooner the better. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help, a one-man wrecking crew back there. Thanks to Trace Thompson and Matt Hurgis for joining us tonight. And thanks to you for listening. Our next broadcast for Dodger Baseball will be this Friday at 1 o'clock. The Dodgers taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dodgers on Deck begins at 12:30. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at AM570LASports.com. Our next Dodger Talk will be next Monday night at 7 o'clock. So until then, have a great night, everybody, and a great week. Stay safe and be dry out there. Stay dry and be safe out there. See ya.